What's happening, family? Welcome to the podcast, In the Black of My Mind. I'm your host, Al Thomas. So do me a favor, go down to the bottom of the page, click subscribe and share, and tell everybody. How many bodies? Everybody. Today's guest is an amazing musician that plays numerous instruments, including soprano, alto, and tenor sax, flute, oboe, piano, and drums, to name just a few. He's also a producer, arranger, vocalist, songwriter, composer, and conductor. He's a long-standing member of Parliament Funkadelic. We want the funk. All right. And has performed, recorded, and or toured with the likes of Raphael Sadiq, Bootsy Collins, Maceo Parker, Fred Wesley, Stanley Clark, The Gap Band, Cameo, Snoop Dogg, Stephanie Mills, M. Tume, Lou Rawls, The Spinners, Chuck Brown, and The Soul Searchers, and so many. I can't even read them all. Welcome to the podcast, Greg Thomas. How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good now. I got you on here, man.
All right.
We good to go, man.
Yeah.
Please. Right? No doubt.
Yeah.
No diggity. I don't know if I was shared with you before, but I'm really into the backstory, man. You know, I really want to know, you know, where you at, where you came from, where'd you get your funk from? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Well, where were you born?
I was born in Jersey, but I'm from Baltimore.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And I think you were sharing with me you're out in Chi-Town now?
Yeah, in Chicago. Yeah.
Cool,
but
cool.
I'm from Baltimore, born
Baltimore,
and raised.
Yeah, no doubt. In the DMV.
Yeah.
I used to hang out in Baltimore a lot, man, back in the day.
Yeah.
Baltimore, Randallstown.
Yep.
That's
where the family house is.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, Randallstown.
Okay. Yeah. My aunt used to live in Baltimore. She's in Randallstown now.
Mm-hmm.
But she lived on Kitmore Lane.
Yeah.
And so I used to go down and hang out with her all the time. I had friends on Cold Spring and all through there. Yeah.
You
so,
already know.
Yeah.
That's the neighborhood.
And I used to hang out down in Morgan State all the time. I had some good times in Baltimore, man.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
You got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older brother, Joe, and a younger sister, Cherie.
Are any of them involved in music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, when we were growing up, my mom and dad got us involved in music, you know, at a young age, you know.
Okay.
I think I started clarinet at the age of 5, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, my older brother, he started before me, and then my sister, she started on the flute, you know. So, you know, it was all musical. They kept us involved in activities.
Nice. Yeah, clarinet was my first instrument as well. I wanted to play saxophone, but they ain't had no more saxophones. You know, it's like, yeah, take this clarinet, and you know, it's the same thing. It's just it's not the same.
It's not. But similar.
Right.
Similar fingering.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was sharing with the brother. Our first sheet music that I remember them giving me to play was a song called Masses in the Cold, Cold Ground.
Oh.
I was like, yo, that's cold-blooded, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I understand that was, I didn't know back then, you know, I just recently found out that was really a real popular song back in the day and stuff. And I'm like, you know, that might've been something that we sang when Massa died and stuff, and we rejoiced because that mean old man was in the ground. But I don't know if that's something that you didn't want to be giving a little kid to be playing.
Yeah. But we started out at a young age. We started, you know, I started at 5 playing in the school. And dad put the horn in my hand, and then we went, we had some other activities outside of school. So we had a neighborhood orchestra that we used to go to, and we'd have lessons there, and we'd do little concerts for different organizations, things of that sort. We got, you know, a real musical experience during the school program and also during the extracurricular programs.
So you came up playing in school and stuff.
Yeah.
You start playing in local bands and things of that nature.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you started playing, like you said, in school. And then me and my brother, we started a local band. And my father, he was interested in what we were doing, so he became our manager.
Okay.
So we rehearsed at my house. So I had all the instruments at my house down in the basement.
Right, right, nice.
So when we weren't rehearsing, I was rehearsing.
Gotcha.
I learned how to play the bass. I learned how to play the drums. I learned how to play the keyboards. So, but from clarinet, we went to saxophone. I went to the tenor saxophone, and my brother Joe, he went to the alto saxophone.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's when we started really experimenting with music and, you know, doing other people's work, other people's music, and playing gigs and things of that sort.
So what kind of music were you playing back then?
Oh, back then we were playing what was popular.
Okay.
R&B and stuff that was popular for parties.
Right, right, right.
Not necessarily things that you liked, but things that the people liked.
Gotcha.
So we had to learn that, but we were taught that. My dad, you know, taught us you can't do what you like all the time. You got to do what's popular and what the people like.
Right.
So so we learned how to do all of that and how to perform, and you know, we started out early, so it was in my blood.
I got you.
We just matured and kept it going.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. Please, I know that about playing music that people like, but after a certain point, it's like, I can't play Mustang Sally no more. I can't play Celebration no more. I can't play a Shout. If I played,
I'm telling you, I've played it.
I know. I'm sure you have.
And you know what? I probably might play it again. It depends.
Whatever
the gig calls for me, you know.
Yeah, I'd be like, excuse me, sorry, I can't play that. I can't do it, not no more.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I did it for a long time, but I can't do it no more.
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
So, I mean, so you went all the way through school in Baltimore?
Yeah. I went through high school and college in Baltimore. I went to Coppin State.
Coppin State, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What was your major?
Chemistry, science.
Wow.
Yeah, I have a degree in chemistry.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. So I, you had to have alternatives to music.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I got my degree, and I was a chemist for a while. I worked in Annapolis as a chemist, and then that kind of folded. And then I went into teaching. I was an eighth grade science teacher for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then, you know, we had a neighborhood band. And we had some of the members from our band in the group. Rodney Skeet Curtis was our bass player.
Oh, the bass player. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the one got us hooked up with the P-Funk.
I was just getting ready to ask how
you got on. It started out in Baltimore. We had different groups. So the group we had was Uncle Remus. Mm-hmm. It was a combination of a group called Hot Ice. That was Skeet's group.
Uh-huh.
And me and my brother's group was Black Ice. So when those groups disbanded, we got together, Hot Ice and Black Ice, and we became Uncle Remus.
Okay.
So we had Baltimore native Kevin Oliver playing guitar, mm-hmm. and we had Dennis Chambers playing drums with
us. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I had a killer band.
Yeah, Rodney Skeet Curtis on the bass, my brother Joe on sax, myself.
Mm.
And we had some other members.
Okay, okay.
So,
is your brother still playing?
Huh?
Is your brother, is he still playing?
Well, he's still in the music business. He doesn't play too much. He helps other artists. He books bands.
Gotcha.
He books bands and he does, you know, promotional things for mm-hmm. other artists.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still involved. He's just not on the stage.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, it all started. We had another band that's from Baltimore, Madhouse. Not Prince's Madhouse. This was mm-hmm. before that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that group, they had Gary Mudbone Cooper in that group. He's from Baltimore.
I didn't know Mudbone was from. I was thinking he was from the Plainfield area.
No, yeah. He's from Baltimore.
Gotcha.
Madhouse was popular, and some people talked to George Clinton and said, "Oh, that group Madhouse, you need to check them out. They remind me of Funkadelic."
Mm.
So Mudbone somehow hooked up with George and Bootsy. So when Mudbone hooked up with George and Bootsy, they pulled Mudbone into their fold.
Okay.
So Mudbone became a member of the P-Funk. And then he told George, he said, "Man, I got a bass player friend that's really good. You might like him, man. His name is Rodney Skeet Curtis."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they played, I think, College Park, University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And Funkadelic played there, and they invited Skeet there.
Oh, okay.
So I think Skeet went over and played with him, and they got together and talked, and eventually Skeet joined the P-Funk. So we had to find another bass player.
Wow.
And, you know,
mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
eventually the Uncle Remus broke up, and we were doing different things with other bands.
Got it.
So, yeah. So anyway, Skeet went on to play with P-Funk. And at the same time, P-Funk was using the Horny Horns. That's mm-hmm. Fred Wesley and Maceo and Kush Rick Gardner.
All right, right.
So the Horny Horns are doing P-Funk, and the Horny Horns were also doing Bootsy's Rubber Band.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so Bootsy's Rubber Band was getting ready to do their own separate tour.
Mm.
So the Horny Horns were going to go with them. So they needed, P-Funk was going to need some horns
mm-hmm.
to cover their, you know, to cover what they were doing. So when you have a job and it's an opening, you call your friend.
No doubt.
So Skeet called me and said, "Hey man, you got some other guys that you work with, you can put a horn section together." I said, "Yeah, we were already working together."
Okay.
Me, Benny Cowan on trumpet, and Greg Boyer on trombone.
Greg Boyer, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so Skeet told me, he said, "We're going to be in Baltimore in 3 weeks. This is what I want you to learn." So he gave me a list of all the stuff that we were supposed to learn. I said, "Okay, no problem." So we all got together and we shedded on all the music. Mm-hmm. And they came to the hotel. It was Ramada Inn.
Uh-huh.
And they called us and said, "Come on in and let us check you out." So we all got in the hotel room. Playing in the hotel room, the musicians are playing.
Mm-hmm.
So we come in there and we played. They liked it. So the manager said, "Give us your information. We'll be in touch." So in the meantime, they had a show in Baltimore and they had a show in DC. We were invited to both of those shows.
Okay.
So we got to see what they were doing and we enjoyed it. So the manager said, "Get back with us. We'll get back with you and we'll let you know." So we said, "Okay, cool, no problem." So they went on and finished the tour, what they were doing. And then we went on to what our daily lives were. I was teaching school at the time.
Okay.
I think Benny and Greg were in college. They were at St. Mary's College. They were music majors at St. Mary's College. So
Okay.
we went on about our thing. Then about a month later, we got a call and they said, "We want you to come to, I think it was Alabama." So we said, "Okay." And they gave us a couple of weeks, to finalize things at home. And, so that's what we did. And we made it. It was March of 78. I think it was Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, first show. And
Wow.
it was amazing. We had a good time.
Oh, I'm
People
sure.
enjoyed it. Yeah.
And I mean, 78, the band was bringing it back then, man.
No, yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Band was
So
lit.
that's how we got with them.
Wow.
And we've been with them for a long time.
Yeah.
Greg Boyer left and went and played with Prince. Skeet left and went and played with Maceo Parker.
Okay.
Greg Boyer played with Maceo Parker and Prince.
Right.
So he left and came back. So now all three of us are back together.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't didn't get a chance to get out to see y'all live yet, but Carlin's been live casting from her phone the show, so
Yeah.
I've been
Right.
following the tour and stuff that way. It's,
Right, right, right. Yeah,
yeah.
she does it. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
appreciate that too, man. 'Cause, and for a phone, man, it's pretty clear and stuff,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
and decent sound as well. So,
Yeah.
man, I
Yeah.
have been to. I was trying to count. I've probably been to about, I don't know, maybe about 60 shows and stuff over the years, and so all over the place. But
Wow,
yeah,
yeah.
oh man,
Okay.
please, yeah. My first show. My dad made him work, made me work for him so that I could raise make enough money to buy tickets to go see y'all at the Apollo.
Oh, yeah.
But actually, I was at that show. That was long before you got on. That was like 74, 73, something like that. And it was the cosmic slop and all that kind of stuff was like, was real hot then. But from that point, when I saw them, then oh man, my mind was blown because first of all, the way they came out, one brother had on a pilgrim outfit with the buckles on the hat, and then another brother was dressed like a genie. George came out of out of a coffin. They had my man in the diaper.
Gary Scheider.
Gary Scheider, yeah, right. I'm trying to. Oh, somebody had the old-fashioned bathing suit with the long sleeves and the long pants and the stripes on them. They had
Yeah.
all. And so when I'm looking at what they had on, I was bugging. I was like, "Oh man, these cats is out, man. They are out." But again, the music was really good, man. So from that point on, I ain't been right since, actually.
Right.
I
Yeah,
ain't
we
been right
have that
since.
effect on people,
Oh, no doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Yeah.
'Cause you can readily identify with what's happening because it was a break from what everybody else was doing.
Right.
And you were telling truths in a comical way, you
Right.
know? So there's old saying about many truths are told in jest. So
Right.
you can say whatever you want to say. If you say it jokingly.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Cece Peniston. And finally, you're watching in the Black of My Mind podcast with Al Thomas.
Way so people are again are readily acceptable accepting of what it is that you bring in addition to great musicianship and I mean that funk is just undeniable, man. It's so much so that everybody is just trying to copy what y'all were doing during that period of time. And to this day, and then, as George has a tendency to say all the time, because of the rapper sampled them so much and kept them, it kept the funk alive and stuff. It kept right. folks going and stuff. But everybody, I mean, first it was just, I remember it was at one point, it was like a little cult following. It wasn't a lot of people listening to the funk and stuff at first.
Yep.
Then after a while, it was like, it just spread like wildfire. Excuse me.
Yeah. And then we started doing small colleges and things of that sort. So the fan base grew by doing that too. And then the festivals, festivals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I talked to you before about the chocolate jam at RFK.
Oh yeah, right.
Oh man, that was amazing that day.
Yeah.
It was hot. Yeah. Lord Jesus, it was hot.
Chocolate jam.
Yeah, I was in the military during that period of time, and so I brought some folks with me, and then they had never seen y'all live before, and they were bugging out and stuff. So man. Oh.
Oh yeah. Those were the days.
Oh, no doubt. When did you know that you were going to make music your life?
Well, probably when they called us and invited us to come out. I mean, music was my life because, even though I had a day job, I was still playing in different groups around the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was something I loved to do, so I continued to do it.
Got it.
Yeah. It kept us motivated, kept us out of trouble growing up.
Kept us
busy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I played, someone asked me what was the first show that I ever went to. And I had to first concert, that I'd ever been to. And I was like trying to go back. I was like, no. The first concert that I ever went to was a classical concert.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was still playing clarinet during that period of time. And so, it was cool. But when I got a chance, I saw early on Kool & the Gang.
Yeah.
And
my heroes,
man, please. my nickname is one of my. I have a few nicknames, but one of my nicknames is Dennis. My mom's nickname, Dennis the Menace.
So yeah,
DT, Dennis Thomas.
That was Kool & the Gang.
Oh man, please. So and he played flute. And I had transitioned from clarinet to flute. So then I'm following him everywhere and stuff.
Right.
Man, please, the stuff that you all were doing, it just had me all messed up, man. I was like, I just want to play with the funk, man. I don't care what nobody else say, what everybody else do. I want to play with the funk, man.
Understand, man. Yeah. But all of those heroes, Dennis Thomas, Ronald Bell.
Yeah, Spike. Spike Mickens.
Clifford Adams.
Yeah.
Trombone.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. all of them are gone now.
Oh, I know.
But I mean, Kool is still holding it down.
Yeah. It still look good too.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I was posted not too long ago that almost all my heroes are gone, man. Deep, man.
Yeah, it's so many we've lost.
Well, I mean, just look at the funk mob and all of them that are. Like all of the singers from back in the day,
We got Grady and George left.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I just spoke with Grady in Atlanta.
How's he doing?
He's hanging in there. He just lost one of his other sons, Keith.
Oh no.
Yeah. So he's hanging in there,
But health-wise, is he doing a little bit better? I know he's
hanging in there, He's hanging in there. He's doing the best he can,
Right.
Yeah. Right. I don't think he's traveling anymore.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I was told, that he wasn't traveling. But, because his son passed, I'd say about a month ago now.
Wow.
And yeah, I don't think he went to the funeral because I don't think he could travel.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Yes, that makes it even harder.
Yeah.
That makes it even harder.
Yeah.
So you down there in the DMV, you must have played a lot of go-go.
Oh, yeah. I played with Chuck Brown. Well, P-Funk Horns, we played with Chuck Brown
okay.
for 6-7 years.
Oh, wow.
And Greg Boyer, he still plays with him because he's still in the area. I'm in Chicago now.
Right, right.
And, yeah, he still plays with him.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Now, tell me, what made you decide to move out to Chicago?
Well, before that, family.
Okay.
Well, before that, I moved from Baltimore to the DMV in PG County. I moved down there in 80.
Oh, okay.
And then I was there for a while, and then I left there, and I went to San Diego. And I was down there for about 5 years. Then I went to L.A. So I was living in L.A. for 20-some years.
Oh, wow.
And I went to Chicago in 2017.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. So I've been there. I've been here since 2017.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love San Diego, man. But what's the music scene down like
that? Oh, it's kind of trendy. They got a music scene.
Uh-huh.
The Gas Lamp District and
and
they got the beach clubs, Moose McGillicuddy's, the Belly Up, you know they have, and then the casinos down there. They have a lot of casinos down there.
Oh, okay.
So the music scene is pretty cool.
Hi, this is Artie Dixon, and you're watching In the Black of My Mind with my brother Al Thomas.
Now, you've done all kinds of tours, I know, over the years and stuff. Anything really memorable?
Well, all of them are memorable. You know, it's just, you know, the fan base is so huge. You know, Woodstock 99 was real memorable for me, you know. Just doing that. Woodstock is such a staple.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and just being honored to be there, you know, and interact with the other acts and
the
fans. It was great.
Mm.
Woodstock 99.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's I don't know why I didn't go to Woodstock that during that period of time. 99, and I was here. Yeah, I don't know why I didn't. I ended up watching watching it on, it was live streamed and stuff.
So I ended up watching
the live stream.
Right. Oh yeah.
What about overseas? Anything that stands out for you?
The UK is always nice.
Yeah.
Good fans. You know, Switzerland is beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah, we went to Russia, New Czech Republic. Real, you know.
And how receptive were they there in Russia?
They love us.
Really? Yeah, I know it got to be crazy. Folks out there don't speak the language and they're singing the lyrics to the songs and stuff.
Yeah, but you know, that music is universal.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, some of them can't speak English, but they know the words. Yeah. We want the funk.
Exactly. Everybody want the funk.
Yeah, man. Germany, really nice, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, all of those places are great places, man.
Oh,
Australia.
Hmm.
Yeah, matter of fact, we're in September, we're getting ready to go back over there. We got to go to Australia and New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got to go to Hawaii. We're taking a break right now for a minute, and then we're going to do some other things coming up.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now what are you doing in the interim during this break period?
Well, I play locally in Chicago and I also go to New Orleans.
Mm.
I play with several groups down in New Orleans.
So
when I have a nice break, I usually go down there and work.
Okay.
Yeah. I play with four groups down there, you know, local musicians. So I keep my chops up and keep busy.
I was gonna say you're in hustle mode, man.
You gotta keep hustling.
Definitely. How did the pandemic affect you and your music?
Well, it affected everybody because it shut stuff down, you know. We were still recording. Everybody had studios and at home, and you know, so we were doing that. And then, you know, at the time, you know, they were helping people with the aid, you know, unemployment. You could get that if you signed up for it.
Oh, right.
So that helped me through. You know.
Getting
a financial help, you know. And then they had organizations like Music Cares and the Musicians Union and other musical organizations that were helping musicians, professional musicians that weren't working.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you had to have your ear. You had to be listening and looking for opportunities, and then you had to apply.
Right, be on it.
You know, grants and things of that sort.
Yeah.
So that's what kept us going.
Wow.
You know, and, you know, just working at home, home, practicing and doing sessions at home, you know, sending music between one another.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that was great. So when the pandemic lifted, it was like, wow, breath of fresh air. You know, everybody was ready to get back to work. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, we out here.
Right.
We out here.
Yeah.
I got some rapid fire questions I want to run at you. What are your hobbies?
Eating.
Okay.
Eating.
I ain't even mad.
It ain't just a hobby, is it?
No.
It's a way of life. You know, I'm from Baltimore. I like seafood.
Yeah,
I was getting
ready to say. Yeah, them crabs, man.
You know, I like the crabs, the shrimp, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then I like New Orleans food, gumbo,
etouffee,
you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I just like good food.
Okay. They ain't mad.
Yeah.
What would you consider to be the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Entertaining the people and the people giving it back. People showing you love. You know, they everywhere we go, we entertain the people, you know. They give us the feedback, you know, positive feedback. It makes you feel good.
Yeah, I know
right. That's the greatest accomplishment. Bringing joy to the people.
Right.
Through music.
Oh, it's a drug.
Yes,
that stage is a drug, man.
It is.
You know, and you can't get enough of it, man. When
you get that
adulation.
I'm not ready to stop.
I know that's right. It's a junkie.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Man, I know you. I saw 79, another show at the Apollo. And I think I'm sharing with you, that was supposed to have been George's retirement concert at the Apollo in 1979, right?
Oh, wow.
And that's when Knee Deep first came out. And I tell you, that's my, man, I hear Knee Deep and I feel like, you know, that's my theme song, man. I feel like I'm a superhero. I got to run and change into my costume and stuff, man. And
I don't
care where I'm at, man. and I'm a Q. You know, the Atomic Dog is naturally our theme song, but Knee Deep from the day I first heard it, that's been my jam, man.
Right.
You know, so then the first time I got a chance to see you live, I'm at the Apollo and the whole show is killing. You know, this y'all were all in the fatigues and stuff then. And so the whole show was killing. And so, and then y'all start doing Knee Deep, and I'm like, oh, that's my joint, man. And they're playing and stuff, man. And then all of a sudden, I see Felipe Wynn come skipping out there with a powder blue tuxedo. I was like, oh, shoot. Felipe is with them. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That was my man.
Oh, man. Man.
Yeah, he was great. Great improviser.
Oh,
great
man.
Great entertainer.
Yeah. Yeah. He got up out of here too soon, too, man.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, you didn't picked up the mantle and stuff, and you be killing it out there, man. I was
thank you. Yeah.
Man, please. Yeah, that's my joint, man.
Well, you know, that's one thing I love about George. You know, he brings a show and he lets the individuals do their thing, you know. He doesn't hold them back, you know.
Right.
If he sees you got talent, he lets you, you know, do your thing. That's what I love about him, you know. Yeah. So he, you know, we were fooling around one day at a rehearsal, and I started messing around with it. So then he said, go ahead and do it.
Oh, wow.
So
okay.
That's when I started doing it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I took it a little further than Felipe, because I'm a jazz player.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't just play funk. I'm versatile. I play classical, you know, different things. So I put a little jazz spin on it.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
And you got the audience involved, you know, that singing back as well, which I never saw Felipe do. I don't know if he did or not, but you got him going and stuff. So
Yeah. We have fun on that. We do.
I know that's right.
Hey, this is Marion Meadows, and you're listening to and watching In the Black of My Mind podcast.
Just amazed with horn sections and stuff.
Right.
And so all of them groups that was coming through, well, back in the 70s, every group had a horn section.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody had a horn section. You know, Earth was killing their horn section, Phoenix Horns, and, you know, and then, all of them. Then, you know, when they started doing that disco thing, man, that kind of killed. That killed the horns and stuff for a long time.
Yeah, it did. And then bands were cutting down on the size.
And then
you know, they went into the phase where they cut all the horn sections out, and then they have the keyboard player. Trying to play horn.
Right. Yeah, that bothers. Even to this day, I hear some keyboard players that are playing flute, and I'm like, yo. Bruh, I would have played that for you.
Right.
I would have. You know, it ain't even about the money. I just can't stand to hear keyboard flute, man.
Well, it's a difference anyway. You know, the way the articulation is different.
Right.
Yeah. With horns, you have to mouth it.
Right.
It's not a physical touch like that. It's, you know, you have to blow it.
Yeah, to blow it, right.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, man.
What's on your bucket list?
Oh, wow. I just want to keep playing, man, till I can anymore, you know, and bring more people into the fold.
Right.
You know, I really want to do a little country.
Really?
You know, just you know, playing with some, you know, expanding my repertoire.
Interesting.
You know.
Country. I would have never thought that of you, bro.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm multifaceted, so,
I got you.
Yeah. I just want to tap that market now.
I have some friends
in the country field, you know, and they're doing pretty good, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm on a... maybe write a couple songs, you know.
Okay.
Get involved like that, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what they say, if you listen to country, what happens when you listen to country music backwards?
No.
You get your wife back, you get your truck back, you get
your... Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Wow.
What skill would you most like to learn?
Oh. You know, I would like to learn Spanish.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I fool around, but I'd like to speak fluent Spanish.
Yeah, I guess they're making it a little easier now.
Yeah, you know, I think they have a Babbel.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the apps you can get. So, you know, I'm slowly starting to work on that.
Oh, nice. Nice, you know. Nice.
Yeah.
Where is the coolest place you ever traveled?
Oh, man. Montreux, Switzerland.
Really? Why?
It's just beautiful. The people are great. They love the music. It's fantastic, man. Fantastic.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Who is your hero?
Oh man, all the old jazz greats, you know. You know, Coltrane. You know, Charlie Parker. Jimmy Heath.
Jimmy, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cannonball Adderley, all wow. the cats, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay. You know, Dizzy Gillespie, you know, Miles.
I had the opportunity to meet Dizzy. We years ago we opened for him at a festival here in New Haven.
Yeah,
and I was amazed because after we came off stage, he was off the stage to meet us. Now they got the tent in the back and they got the food and you know and his boys was back there and they got the card game going on and all that stuff, you know. And he was out there and he spent like about 45 minutes with us just talking to us. And
I've met him. I know what you mean, but growing up, my father used to have us playing these the local prisons. So they paid us and they also put us on this list. We had an organization called the Left Bank Jazz Society in Baltimore. So they put us on a list to go to those shows. So every Sunday they would have jazz at the famous ballroom, famous place in Baltimore. So we would go down every week. They'd have different jazz artists. So I got to meet everybody, you know, Dizzy Gillespie, you know, Art Blakey, Slide Hampton, Blue Mitchell, the Heath Brothers, Elvin Jones, George Benson. You know, pretty
everybody.
Much. So, so back when I was gone, I would have a cassette player on the table and I would record all of these shows. So I still have the recordings. I don't know how good they are because a lot of the cassettes have oxidized.
Oh, right, 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 right.
But I'm pretty sure it's a few that still play, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, Rahsaan, Roland Kirk. I got to meet everybody.
Right, right. Nice, nice.
Yeah, yeah. So, so you know, that nourished my taste in jazz. You know what I'm saying? So that made me more versatile. And, you know, then I learned how to play different genres.
Gotcha.
You know. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that definitely opens you up and stuff now. And You know, you have the opportunity to see all of those people, you know, up close and personal. And,
all right.
You know, and wow.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Betty Carter. She was so great.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, man.
Hi, my name is Howard Cloud. Please watch In the Black of My Mind with host Al Thomas.
What is the most important decision you've made to date?
To pick up that horn. To pick up the you know, just to pick up music and pursue that and nurture it and bring joy to people. Yeah, that changed my life, you know.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
You know, yeah.
Man. I'm trying to think. Cool and the Gang had what would the world be like without music?
All right.
That I shudder to think. You know, like I think if some of these folks that I don't want to mention no names, but if some of these folks that's acting a fool out here would listen to some funk, they'd be all right.
I'm trying to tell you. Well, I've seen it firsthand. You know, like. When we doing concerts, all kind of races, nationalities come in and, you know, they get together and they party and usually it's no problem. Usually, right. know, it's no trouble.
Mm.
So that's a beautiful thing, you know.
Right.
You know, everybody comes together and they enjoy the music, man.
Mm.
And, it, you know, when we went over to Russia, it really had me like, wow. Because, you know, Russia gets a kind of funny rap, you know.
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely.
But the music, man, mellowed them out. Germany, you know.
Mm. Well, you know what? The problem is the politics, you know.
Right.
It's not the people. It's these politicians and stuff, you know. Because people are people, you know.
Right. Exactly.
No matter where you go, people are people.
Exactly.
But these politicians, man, they just, you know, they just take things to a whole nother level and stuff. And and the way that they act is truly not indicative of the people and stuff. So,
all right.
You know, so folks get a bad rap, you know, guilt by association.
All right,
you
know, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Ooh.
Now, not something that you wrote or... But what's your favorite song?
Well, one, I'm going to tell you, since we're talking about Cooling the Gang,
mm-hmm.
one of my favorite songs is Open Sesame.
Oh. Yes.
And we used to emulate them when we were growing up.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah. That's on my... That's funny because that's on my playlist, and I'm an avid golfer. You know, I try to get out as much as I can.
All right.
And so we out there on the golf course, funking, man, for real. But that was on the playlist out there on the golf course yesterday morning and stuff. Yeah.
It's an aggressive tune.
Oh yeah.
It makes you want to dig in and knock a hole. You know.
Exactly.
Knock the ball way over there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Bop. Da 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 da, right. da da da. Yeah, man.
Right. Yeah. Man, Ronald Bell outdid himself.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Fantastic work.
Oh, man. And their horns were just exceptional and stuff.
Exactly.
Man. So just oh man.
Yeah.
What's your favorite group?
Oh, wow. That's tough because I like a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, so break it down. How many?
Well,
I
like Earth Wind. Wind is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cool and the Gang was one of my favorites. You know.
Mm-hmm.
They're still one of my favorites, but they, the members changed.
Right.
And, you know.
Right.
So they still cool.
But, oh yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
Oh, but I knew all of those guys that aren't with us anymore.
Oh, okay. Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
Forgive me, but I'm not a fan of the commercial stuff that they did, you know.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I know you had to make some money,
and
I get it.
And
I get it. Yeah, but they reduced the horn. They did reduce the horn section to dancers and stuff, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, you know. Well, you know, now they still have horns. They have, I think they have 3 or 4 horns.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple of the guys are from Philly, you know, and yeah.
Mm,
Yeah. But, you know, the dancers thing, that got to be a lot of people's forte.
Right,
you know,
right.
The Isley Brothers, they got all these dances.
Yeah.
Charlie Wilson, he's got these dances.
Yeah, but see, I'm not mad at the dancers. You know, let the dancers come and do their thing. But let the horn players play, man. Later for that madness. Let them play, man.
You know.
I mean, you know, it's a, the early things that they did, who's going to take the weight and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and it had jazz leanings and stuff, all of the stuff they did early
right.
on. And to go from that to bubblegum, man, that bothered me.
Well,
no
you know,
end,
it was, it, you know, I get it, but it was about them making money and staying active, you know.
I understand.
So they did what they had to do to keep it moving.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, I'm pretty sure Cool would tell you.
Oh, no doubt.
We had to do what we had to do to stay alive.
Yeah, continue being relevant.
Yeah.
Because disco was kicking everybody in the behind, man.
Yeah. So right now, the music business is kind of weird. You know, you got independent artists doing things.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, all this streaming, you're not making any money. Yeah, so the way you make your money is touring and merchandise.
Right, right.
You know, so that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, yeah. There's no more brick and mortar and stuff. You know, places. I remember, when the Mothership album came out, I was one of the first ones in line at the store to get that album and stuff, man.
Yeah, man. I used to go to Tower Records, man. I'd go in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Spend $100, $150 easy in there just buying stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, any one of them, man, the standing on the verge of getting it on, man, that album came out. I was like, right there, the first one, got to get the funk, man.
Right.
Got to get it. When I first met you, and I shared that with you earlier when we were talking, when you guys were playing at Yale, my bass player had asked you guys a question, and the question was, do you guys think that you could ever get back to where you were during that period of time when you were writing the music and coming out, recording that stuff like you did back in the day? Do you think you could ever get back to that point again?
Well, that's still happening. It's just differently. It's just different now because a lot of people have home studios, so people are recording at home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't have to be in the same city with you to make a song now. You can send me the files and I'll play on it, send it back.
Right.
That's how things have changed, you know.
Right.
You can still be creative and you don't have to be in the same city, you know. So, you know, that keeps the whole thing, makes the whole thing keep rolling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite singer?
Ooh. Male singer or female?
Give me one of each.
Well, I tell you, one of my favorite singers is Ledisi.
Oh, man, she's a beast. Oh, man, she can go.
And Rochelle Farrell is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, that's another one, yeah. Wow.
I got a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You know, favorite male singer, Philip Bailey is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Glenn Jones.
Glenn Jones, yeah, he can go.
I'm trying to think. It's so many, man.
I'm a Al Jarreau fan.
Oh, Al is one of my favorites too.
Yeah, he got me
doing a lot of his stuff, you know. Al is great.
Tell me about it.
We used to party with Al when he was.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, when I was living in L.A. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd finish one club we used to play, Cafe Cordial. We finished over there, and his wife used to come over there. So we'd leave that club and go over to Al's house and finish the party.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep, Al is good. I loved Al Green, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis Mayfield was one of my favorites.
Oh, that's another. Yeah.
Oh, man, phenomenal.
Yeah. And after I ask these questions, I tell everybody that, you know, if they were to ask me, I would have to break it down into genres.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, in R&B, I got favorites. In funk, I got favorites.
Yeah.
In jazz, I got favorites. In gospel, I got favorites.
Yeah.
You know.
Isaac Hayes is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please. Please.
Composer, writer.
Instrumentalist.
Some great stuff, man.
Yeah.
Isaac was,
he changed the game.
He sure did.
Yeah, you know, when he came out with the soundtrack to Shaft, it was over.
Yep.
It's like, he could write his name anywhere, and he was good money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, Prince, of course, is just phenomenal.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I it's so many artists I like, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
the whole Sound of Philadelphia, TSOP.
Oh, yeah.
MFSB. Yeah. Oh, that's some great stuff, man. What they were doing. No doubt. Teddy Pendergrass. Teddy. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. I saw Isaac Hayes at the Omni in Atlanta.
Yeah.
With the, back in the 75. And with the orchestra.
Right.
Yeah, you know, they were all in white tuxedos.
Yeah.
And Isaac Hayes comes out with white pants on and the gold chains, you know, right. the vest that he used to wear and stuff.
Yep. Black Moses.
Black Moses, yeah. He tore it up too. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. He was great. Great guy.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I only met him once, and but I didn't really get a chance to really kick it with him and stuff.
Yeah, I met him a few times.
Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, I tell people that we grew up in an era that will never be replicated and stuff. It was the best time for music and stuff. Because
if you think
about it, I mean, we had, in our era, we had Train. You know, we had from Train to Grover Washington,
and
everybody in between. We have Marley on one hand, we got George on the other hand. You know, we got Sly on one hand, and we got it's the greatest era. And then I didn't even talk about the rock and that kind of.
I know.
It was the greatest era for music.
Yeah. Led Zeppelin and all of that.
Oh yeah. Please.
Yeah, man. All of that. Yeah. One of my favorite rock groups was Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Who was
Zeppelin,
with them?
Yes.
Rick Wakeman.
Rick Wakeman, keyboard player.
Yeah. Rick Wakeman.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I used to listen
phenomenal.
To Journey to the Center of the Earth, man, over and over again, man. Yeah. I mean, the greatest.
Oh, yeah. And just think, the format was different back then. Radio.
Oh, definitely.
Radio was phenomenal. You could get a lot of stuff from radio.
Yeah.
That was
before
streaming and all of that.
Yeah. So
that's how you could get it, you know.
Yeah.
And then in record stores.
Right.
You know.
You know, these formats that some of these radio stations, the majority of these radio stations are, just turns me off. I can't even listen to them, man.
It's got so commercial.
Yeah.
And then, it's what they let these, it's like, how much freedom do these DJs have?
None.
Cause some of them have a format that they have to stick to.
Right, exactly.
I always liked the station where the DJ was his own person and they could play what they wanted to play.
Right.
So I grew up, down in the DMV, we had WHUR, Howard University.
Oh, yeah.
We had Melvin Lindsay.
Melvin Lindsay, with the Quiet Storm.
Man.
Yes,
he was the first one that started that.
Yeah.
Then all the other cities followed.
Right.
But
right.
he used to play some great stuff.
Oh,
man,
please.
I knew Melvin, too. He was a friend of mine, too.
Okay. Yeah. Man, please. Quiet Storm, come on. When I was down there, man, I was there from 77 to 79.
Mm-hmm.
So Quiet Storm, come on. I put a cassette in, press record,
let
that thing go, man, please. Are you kidding me?
I have some. I still have
do
some.
Do you?
I don't know how good the quality is.
Right. Wow. No, them was the days, man.
Yeah.
I used to go, anything that came through there, I was going to see. So I've been to Constitution Hall numerous times. In fact, one of the best concerts I ever saw was at Constitution Hall.
Mm-hmm.
It was Grover Washington and Ramsey Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramsey came out first. And he played, and the last song that he played was Sun Goddess.
Right.
And he went backstage, and he brought Grover out, and Grover soloed on Sun Goddess, and he killed it.
Yep.
And then Grover came out and played his set, and the last song he did was Mr. Magic, and he went back, got Ramsey, and Ramsey came out and killed Mr. Magic. So, it was an excellent show. And down there, I saw Sugar Ray Leonard's third fight at the Cap Center.
I knew Ray. I know Ray.
Really?
Yep.
Dang.
Palmer Park,
Palmer Park, yeah.
Yeah. We all used to hang out around there and do different shows, and he'd come through. Yeah.
Good dude?
Yeah, nice guy. Nice guy.
Wow. Shoot. I saw Rick James at Constitution Hall.
Yeah.
I think a Light It Up tour or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, just, but I mean, well, you know, you were born and raised down in the DMV, so you know what time it is. You know, there was just those was the days, man. It was just some of everything. I went to a friend of mine said, "Yo, man, we going to this party. We're at is at this in a banquet room in this hotel."
Mm-hmm.
All right, whatever, you know. So I go down there, and I that talk to. Chuck Brown. Chuck Brown.
Yep.
And they were killing it, man. And the whole room was moving, man. You know, it was nobody sitting down. There was tables and stuff and chairs. Nobody sat down the whole time the band was playing. Everybody was up and oh man.
That's right. Yeah. we used to do the black hole. One of the places called the Black Hole and the Ibex and
Ibex. The Quonset Hut.
Yeah, a lot of places, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Man,
and it's
man.
Nothing like the go-go.
No, man. Not at all. I was talking to Greg Boyer about it, and it's like, you know, it's unfortunate that it's the go-go is regional, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't understand why it didn't take off up here and, you know, and up here in the tri-state in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut and stuff, you know.
Well, that's part of the programming of the radio stations,
exactly.
Too.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, I'm from Baltimore, and they kind of get it, but they don't fully get it.
Okay.
So, I mean, they get it now because it's been around longer.
Right.
So they like it, but it's still not, you know, they didn't, you know, gravitate to it,
right.
You know, like the people in D.C., you know. That's just it's the official music of D.C. now. The mayor has, you know, got that under control. So
really? It made a decoration. This is it.
Yeah.
Nice.
But, you know, it was hard because of the gentrification. They had people coming in there trying to change the structure of D.C.
Right.
And she wasn't having it.
Mm.
And people wasn't having it.
Right.
So it's the official music of D.C. Even though it's not too much Chocolate City no more.
Oh, man. You know, I hadn't, at one point I didn't go to D.C. for a while. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter went to Howard, so, you know, I was down there all the time. Then,
right.
All I needed was an excuse to get down there. So.
Right.
But I remember when I was back in 78, 79, you ride on 14th Street, you know, and it was like prostitutes and stuff up 14th Street, you know, like the earlier, the lower part of 14th Street was like what they call the congressional district,
right?
You know,
right.
And the further you went back, the seedier it got. And so when I, you know, like I said, I hadn't gone down there in a long time, I went back down there I'm riding down 14th Street and I was like, oh, shoot. There's like, you know, folks out there with the little foo-foo dogs and stuff, man.
Right.
Places, you know, I mean, at like 2 o'clock in the morning and stuff. You wouldn't see nobody out, nobody walking with them white people walking to their dogs in those areas.
Right.
No.
Right. No. But it's quite different now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just rode up and down the streets and stuff. Yeah, I just rode up and down the streets and was like, wow, man, this is different, man. Even Southeast.
Yeah.
You know.
Different.
Yeah. Because back in the day, well, you know, I mean, like Southeast was like the murder capital of the world and stuff, man.
That's right.
Now they that gentrification, they just pushing folks out and they building everywhere they can build. Them cranes all over the city and stuff. It's just.
Some of the baby boomers, you know, they let the ancestors' property go.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you don't pay the property taxes and things of that sort, Yeah. Other people come in and swoop the property up.
Yeah.
You know, but they are trying to fight back now. So some of the minority folks are, you know, they trying to hold on to educate the people and so that we can hold on to this property.
Right, right.
You know, because it's starting to get crazy.
Oh yeah, understatement.
Yeah,
understatement. You know, I was down there when the mayor, oh boy, I can't even think of his name now.
Marion Barry.
And they had those houses, those brownstones, man. You can get one for a dollar and stuff, man.
Yep.
You know, and the city was giving you a 2% loan to rehab them so they could get those places back on the tax roll.
Yep.
And them same dollar houses now selling for $900,000, $1.2, $1.4 million and stuff.
Yep.
I'm like, man.
Yep. That's
true. That was more like 82, 83.
Because
I came home after I got out of the service, graduated, and then I moved back down to First Street Northwest in 80, around the 82, 83, somewhere around there.
Okay, yeah.
And that's when they were, wow.
Yeah,
wow,
man.
Wow, man, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And to see what it was and what it's become is interesting as well.
I know. I know. I walked, me and a couple guys, we were playing at the Howard Theater.
Mm.
And one of the guys wanted to get a jacket. So I said, well, let's just walk. So we walked down U Street. We walked to like 14th and made a left and went down. You know, we saw the gentrification.
Yeah.
And wow. Crazy.
Yeah, it ain't the same, man. It ain't the same. Of the quick hitters, I got one more. This might be the most difficult of the questions. Tell me your life story in one sentence.
Tell you what?
Tell me your life story in one sentence.
Oh, wow. Young brother is born. Gets horn from dad. Makes a career of it.
Brother's born and got the funk.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, man, please. Yeah, man, I just pray that you can continue to do this thing, man, for a long time, man. I mean, you already been doing it for a long time, but I mean, you know, I can't see the funk without you up there, man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to do it till the wheels fall off.
I know that's right. Yeah.
Yes, sir. It's been a pleasure.
No, the pleasure's all mine, man. But before we go, how can people contact you on social media?
Social media, I'm Gregory Thomas, P-Funk, and my email, gatsax@yahoo, gatsax@yahoo.com. Instagram, gatsax.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's in case folks want to check you out.
Yeah, or another way to do it is just Google Gregory Thomas Sax.
Okay.
Yeah, and all of those different entities will come up.
What kind of saxes are you playing?
I'm playing Selma Mark 6.
Okay, a Mark 6. Okay.
Custom neck, custom mouthpiece.
Nice.
And I'm playing a King Super 20 on my tenor.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Are you any endorsement deals with any of the instruments?
I'm endorsed with Selma.
Oh, with Selma. Okay.
Yeah. All and right. Yeah, and I have a couple other endorsements too.
Okay. Cool. Yes, sir. Well, once again, bro, I appreciate you, man, more than you know. And I'm gonna hit you up. You got that Thomas thing, man. So you know,
yes, sir.
I got a lot of family down there in D.C. So you know, from this day forward, we are officially family, bro.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
No, man. Thank you, man. Yeah, but I'm but in saying that, I'm gonna wear out my welcome now.
No problem. Hit me up anytime.
Oh, man, I appreciate you. I appreciate you, All right.
Thank you. Right. Thanks for having me.
No. This has been another episode of In the Black of My Mind podcast. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share. Until next week, y'all be blessed.